So when I was a little girl, and even still to this day, I have had really vivid dreams. I could wake up and recall last night's dream with incredible detail. And there are two dreams that throughout my life and even until today have kind of stuck with me. And I like to call them nightmares because that's what they are. And the first one, I'm at an abandoned castle in the middle of nowhere, and it's dark, it's nighttime, and I watch as my dearing and loving parents get in a car and drive off, and they leave me there. And in the second one, which is a little bit less, still scary, but a little more comical, I'm being chased by a mob of pirates through a town at night. And, you know, although these dreams are far from realistic, you know, my only real experience with pirates is watching too much Pirates of the Caribbean growing up. But I remember awaking from these dreams with a sense of pure terror and hardship, as if I had just experienced those dreams firsthand. And, you know, like any child, my first response to these dreams was to cry out in need of help, to cry out to my parents or to a guardian in some cases. And, you know, like any loving father would do, they come running and they wrap you up in their arms and they promise you that it was just a nightmare and that everything is going to be okay. And then the most comforting thing to me was that they would promise to stay a while. And they would wrap me up and they would say, you know, I'm not going to leave until you fall asleep. And even though I didn't have the opportunity to escape the darkness or the fear of falling back asleep and falling back into these nightmares, I was comforted knowing that I had a parent there to guard me. And David talks about feelings of comfort in his 23rd Psalm, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I will protect you." And he provides multiple forms of comfort that the Lord gives us in these times of apparent darkness. And in order to fully understand what he's saying in the psalm, I believe we first must understand David's perspective and the place that he's coming from as a writer. So David himself was a shepherd, and so he knows what this role entails. You may know him as a king, and a very good one at that, but before that, he was in fact a shepherd. And at the time, being a shepherd was a lowly job. It was not one that was typically sought out. It wasn't one that people were proud to have, that they were boastful about. It was actually assigned oftentimes to the youngest son in a family. And so for David to describe the Lord as our shepherd is actually a really beautiful metaphor that he uses because it seems to suggest that Jesus stooped to our level in a really beautiful way. It was a precious metaphor because Jesus took the time to walk alongside of us on this earth and assume a job that many of us would not have sought out. And so he's also a king, as I mentioned before, and he speaks to that metaphor as well in this 23rd Psalm. And I believe these two parallels of what he describes are really beautiful, and they speak to the loving and the prepared nature of our God and his willingness to comfort us in times of darkness. So the beginning of God's promise comes in this first line. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this word shall, it's typically used, you see it throughout the Bible, kind of as a command. So the Lord says, "You shall not commit adultery," or "You shall not lie," "You shall not steal." He uses it as a command to us as believers in him of what not to do or what to do. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love me, your God, with all of your heart, soul, and mind. But here, the word shall is being used more in the context of a promise. He says, "You shall not want, you shall not grow weary, because I will make you lie down and rest. I will restore your soul. I will fill that void inside of you that only I can fill." He says, "I will lead you beside still waters, so you shall not thirst. You shall not grow thirsty, because I will fill your soul." And it's a really beautiful way for David to open up his psalm with this promise from God that we shall not want, and his promise from God that we will be fully sustained in him. So in verse 4, David starts to get really personal with God, and this is a shift that I really connected with when I was studying the scripture this past week. And at this point, David begins to use the pronoun you to describe God. So before now, he's saying, he will make me lie down in green pastures, talking about God. He will lead me beside still waters. But in verse 4, David gets really personal and he says, though I walk through the valley of death, and I will fear no evil, you are with me. He's saying, you, God, you are with me. You will walk beside me, and I know that you are there. And this shift also comes at a time when David begins to describe this valley of the shadow of death, this apparent darkness that David, as the sheep, feels he's being led into. And so for him to shift to this use of the word you instead of he seems to suggest that he notices God's presence beside him, and he almost is invited into it more deeply in this time of longing and want and need. And so then he goes on to say, you know, here are four things that I feel protected by from the Lord my God in this time of darkness. First is his use of the word shadow at this time. So shadows, when you think about them, they themselves have no power over us. They can invoke fear because they suggest that something scary is nearby, or we can feel fearful in their midst, but the shadow themselves cannot harm us. And so when David is writing about a shadow of death, it's not death itself that is scary. It's the feeling of death that he's experiencing in that moment. But shadow, the use of that word, he knows that it cannot harm him, and he knows that with God by his side, that shadow will have no power over him. Secondly, he speaks of this rod and staff. And a rod is a device used to guide sheep. The rod warded off predators, so it was used in defense, and the staff was used to actually guide the sheep. And used separately, these tools have little to no power. You can ward off the predators, but if the sheep have no guidance, then they're going to wander off. And if you guide them where they're supposed to go, but you don't ward off the predators, then your sheep are going to get hurt, and they're going to stray. And so, although these tools fail to comfort alone, together they can do wonders for the sheep. And so Jesus, in this time, is promising to both guide and protect us in these times of apparent darkness. And we can find comfort in that promise alone because we know that we will be protected. Nothing can harm us, and he will lead us where we're meant to be. There's nothing that we should worry about because the Lord God will guide and protect us. Third, and this is where we kind of start to see that shift into the use of kingly language. David is speaking from a higher position. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And preparing a table for someone suggests a careful thoughtfulness or foresight and care. When you prepare a table for someone, you think about all of their likes, anything that they might gravitate towards. So if you like ice cream, God promises I would like to believe if I went into a dinner table with God, he'd have ice cream on that table for me. Or he would have my favorite meal prepared. And I think it's a really beautiful imagery that David uses here because it speaks to God's personal foresight and care to prepare a table of anything that we feel comfort in, of anything that we like. And so he has already prepared for our arrival in heaven, and he is so excited to have us there with him. Secondly, in this, same imagery with the table, it suggests a widespread of indulgences or treats. To say that the Lord prepares a table for us means he is provided in abundance. Like I said, we have the choice to treat ourselves with anything we want because the Lord has already provided it all. And then this before him, the use or these two words, suggests a personal connection with our Lord. You know, we walk into the door and it is laying before us. And he promises that each individual person that comes into the house of the Lord will have a table laid before him. Finally, this last form of protection that God promises and David speaks about in the 23rd Psalm is he anoints our head with oil. And this can be a reference to sheep as well, so it's kind of going back to that shepherd imagery. I learned this when I was studying the scripture, but oil is used to protect the sheep. So you put it on the sheep, and it actually protects them from any kind of parasite that can come at them. It provides a covering over them in a way. And on the other side, oil in the house of a king is a sign of honor. It's a sign of care and caresight, and it heals, it softens, and it soothes. And so the use of oil to anoint the people that come into the house of the Lord or in these times of apparent darkness is a really careful thing that the Lord does to protect us. And it's pretty incredible that he takes the time to do that with each and every one of us. I was watching or listening to a sermon a couple weeks ago, and the pastor started off with, "My next tattoo is going to be a salmon," the fish, "on my forearm right here." And so everybody in the crowd's like, "Okay, you do you." And he went on to say that salmon are actually the only fish that swim upstream to get to the nutrients at the top of the river. And so these fish seek out a harder path because they know that something even more beautiful lays on the other side of the river. And so when we're entering this valley of the shadow of death, it's not necessarily because we've wandered away, but in fact, God is leading us through it because he knows that there's something greater on the other side. And he's offering us an opportunity to draw closer to him. And it's a time of darkness, a need. And so he promises that we shouldn't fear it, but instead use it as an opportunity to grow and to shape us and to keep our eyes on the fact that there are nutrients at the top of the river. And even if we have to fight a little bit harder for it and ward off some more predators, you know, the Lord will guide and he will protect us. And so what? What does all this mean? What does David mean in this 23rd Psalm? I believe to be led by a shepherd, we must first acknowledge our place as sheep. We must acknowledge that we are wholly and dependent on the Lord our God to sustain us, to guide us, and most of all, to protect us. The shepherd is inviting you to be led, and he promises to protect you along the way. I invite you today to receive that gift from him, to receive that gift of care and guidance from the Lord, and rest assured knowing that you are never alone when you're facing any kind of darkness. He's got you, and he will never, ever leave you alone. And I think we can all say amen to that. Amen. Amen.